A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 2nd April 2024. It's a Tuesday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, The Wonderful Dhamma, Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at Volume 4, Chapter 3, A Parable, based on Master Shen Huang's commentary. As usual, we let us gather for physical puja. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Sin Pusa. Namo Guan Sin Pusa. Namo Guan Sin Pusa. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musawada viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Sura miraya majjhapama dattana viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. And we shall continue our puja chanting from Padipa Puja onwards. Padipa Puja. Ganna sarappa dithena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambara yuttena duppena hang suganghina Pujaye pujan yang tang, puja baja namutamang, vanna ganda kuno petang, etang kusuma santatin, pujayami munindasa, siri pada sarorohe, pujemi butang kusumena nena, Punena metena ce hotu mokang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tata yati winasa bawang Adiwase tuno bante Paniyang parika pitang Anu kampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutemang Adiwase tuno bante Pale parika pitang Anu kampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutemang Adiwase tuno bante Bojanang parika pitang Anu kampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang. Now we shall chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses of the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born free Nibbana. Making of oral aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas of power. Sharing and transfer of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pujan. Putang Pujami. Dhammang pujemi, Sanghang pujemi. This awareness-based meditation is very useful, very important. It aims at developing the inner awareness. It can help us develop the inner awareness. That's why it's called awareness-based meditation. We need to have that awareness nature developed and stabilized so that we can use that to meditate. That's why we call it awareness-based meditation, which is very different from the usual thought-based meditation. Most people meditate using the thought, for they do not understand what awareness is. Like I always explain, to be aware is to be in the state of sati or awareness before the arising of thought, thinking. Then there is one very important understanding that living being need to develop so that you can understand what awareness-based meditation is. The most important understanding is our nature within is actually the awareness nature, spacious awareness. That is what our nature is. The first thing to come out from the source or the oneness nature, or you may call it the Buddha nature. That's why the Buddha said every living being, every one of us, we have a Buddha nature. But this nature can only be understood if you can develop the meditative transformation. So to begin with, there is a fundamental, very important understanding that most living beings don't understand, especially human beings, even a lot of so-called Buddhist cultivators. They may not understand what this is. So from the Buddha nature, or our original nature, or we call it the oneness nature or the source, the first thing to come out is this awareness based nature. So this awareness nature that we have within our form and mind, where our case is a human being. So within this form and mind, there is this inner awareness nature that existed before the form and mind actually comes about. But the moment through the karmic process, the form and mind come into being, this nature already there. But living being got no way of accessing it or understanding it. So what happened is, for our case as a human being, we conceive, then the birth process, then when the newborn baby arise, they have no memory, nothing. That's why during that time, their pure awareness nature inside there is still functioning. That's why they are very cute. They got no words, nothing, no memory, clean slate. So they can see things as they are, but without any knowledge or understanding, because there is no memory or nothing. You cannot create a concept or word or idea to identify things that you can see or perceive through your senses. Then as a human being, when we are born into this world, we have a physical body that is karmically conditional for us to use, and the consciousness that is trapped inside. From the rebirth consciousness, it evolves and continues. But this form of mind, you have to understand, it is subject to the law of karma. That's why the Buddha knew, he said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned, supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So karma plays such a great role in our life as a human being or form and mind. That's why we need to understand this. So we need to take care of karma. Then we need to understand how karma comes to be. It involves the memory, the views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, and mental intention. So now coming back to the awareness nature that is within all living beings, very few people have knowledge of what that thing is or can even access it. That's why we don't know how to use it in the early years when you are born into the world. So what happened is, the very natural and simple thing is to use it to create thinking, thought process, to perceive, Then, after the conditioning, belief system, everything, and all the what they call learning, knowledge, accumulated memories, so the individual, they learn. And through all this learning, you become heedless, you think a lot. So the awareness nature, you didn't make use of it to develop wisdom, to cultivate, to see things as they are, to observe, to insight into phenomena, to develop the clear mind to silently observe and understand what is going on within life, existence, and our own form and mind. Then to understand who we are, what we are, and how we function as a human being. So all this is what awareness is all about. If you don't know how to make use of it, then you end up creating thought, stirring the mind, developing emotion, reaction to sense experience. So that stirring and reaction to sense experience based on our conditioning, our memory, views, opinion, and all the rest of the psychological memory, you function as a heedless thinking human being with a lot of knowledge, of course. So what happens is when we are so habitual in the way we function and operate, we continuously think. That's why human beings who don't have the Dhamma and understanding or sati, they think a lot. They are most of the time lost in thought, heedless, seldom aware. So this awareness nature is to bring back our understanding so that we can come back to this awareness nature. Before you stabilize it, to realize it, you cannot make use of it, because even to have a glimpse of what that nature is very difficult. Well, your thought must cease. And most living beings, after you go through the birth process and evolve until what you are, you find it very difficult to stop the thinking or to have even a moment of thought moment without thinking, without activity of mind, without the aggregates of mind. So this poses a very strong challenge to cultivator of the way who wants to develop this ability to be aware of the pure awareness nature within. Then use it to insight into phenomena, to see things as they are, to develop the meditative wisdom and understanding of who you are, what you are. That's why we call this self-knowledge through awareness. Where the thought process is limited, egoic, and is within the field of knowledge. It can only know things. It cannot understand the totality, the entire existence. It cannot be within the moment to be aware of what is going on within nature, within existence, within life. It is most of the time lost in thought. We are most of the time preoccupied with the thought process. That's why it's very difficult to develop the awareness within. So because of that, now I will maybe remind you why we gave you the four support to develop this awareness-based meditation so that you can stabilize it and realize what that nature is. Which means apart from the thought process, you have another mind, which is the pure awareness nature, the true mind. That is the most important one. When you can stay with that, then you are with the awareness. That through the awareness, you can make use of it to develop wisdom, to meditate, to understand a lot of things, to insight into phenomena, to awaken. Yeah. So all this is to develop the understanding behind what that nature is. Because by now, most of the Kayamita who has been with me for quite a while, you should have the understanding of what this thing is. So today, my nature's purpose is to let you understand it clearly, so that when you meditate with understanding. So now, I will let you meditate on your own. Eh? Remember the four support, the first three, relax. Body and mind, completely relaxed at ease. When you are relaxed, no thought, nothing. That's why you are in the state of awareness, sati. The second support is maintain the awareness. Means without thought, you are there. So maintain it. The second support is maintain the awareness. Just aware. Forget about everything. Don't try to know, don't try to do, just aware. Yeah. Then the third one is continue to let it be, the awareness, let it be, so that it stabilizes. So relax, maintaining awareness and stabilizing the awareness by just let things be. Don't try to interfere with the thought process, the thinking. Do not try to use the thought to do things. Otherwise, it becomes thought-based again. You manifest thinking again. So as a human being, we have our senses, the six basic senses. Our eye, our ear, our nose, our tongue, our bodily tactile, and the memory, the thought process, the brain. So these six sense bases, together with the consciousness, upon contact with the respective sense data, it will trigger sense door consciousness. Then like the physics experiment, the light bulb lights up. It's like you become conscious. Conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. At the moment of consciousness, like the Buddha said, in the seeing, there is only that seeing consciousness that arises. Like the physics experiment, the light bulb lights up. No one to see. But the egoic mind, through memory, through your accumulated delusion, we call it sakayadity, self-delusion, where you think you exist. That's why you, the egoic mind, arise and say, I see, therefore I am. That's why the I, the ego, the personality, arise. So you associate with that seeing, that hearing, that smell, that taste, that tactile, and the thought process, then you think they are real, they are what you are. That is where sakayadity arises. Without awareness, you cannot see it, you cannot understand all this. So because of that, it's very difficult to remain aware, to maintain awareness. So what I suggest to you all is, whatever arises at the sense basis, any of the sense basis, upon contact, just aware, finish. Don't follow. Don't continue to create perception, thinking, and proliferation of thought. Then the reaction, the stirring, not necessary. Yeah, you are trying to develop awareness-based meditation. So relax, maintain awareness. Whatever arises, aware, finish. Aware, finish. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Just continue to relax. Maintain awareness and let your so-called conditioned mind, thinking mind, settle down, slowly settle down, and finally become very quiet and very still. Like Jay Krishnamurti said, the very flowering of that thought is the very ending of that thought. Because all those thinking that you arise, they have their momentum, the energy, the movement. So this one, it will continue to move like the flower. It will continue to flower. But when it loses its ability to continue to move, because you don't feed it with any more thought energy, then they will slow down and slowly cease. When it ceases without thought, without aggregates of mind, that is your true mind, your silent mind. Initially, when you have a glimpse of it, it's already very good. But very fast, you become curious. Oh, what is this? The moment you become curious, thought arrives, gone already. When you try to know, it's also gone. That's why you let things be. Aware, finish. Aware, finish. And let it settle down until it becomes very quiet and still. And you will understand. When it happens, you will understand. Okay? So I will now let you continue with your meditation. I will set the alarm for 30 minutes. Then after that, you all can continue with your awareness-based training. And for those who have already developed the stability of it, you can move on to the fourth support, which is trust. Trust your nature to develop the meditative movement. You just silence everything, relax, maintain awareness, then stay at the heart area and let the awareness nature detect whatever that is going on there and let it move by itself. Assume you are dead. And let the awareness nature just develop the meditative movement and you will understand. Then when it is silent and subtle and it will become very sensitive. Then, not long, if you are patient enough, it will start to detect things. Then you can be aware of whatever that it detects. It can be your heartbeat or any sensation or pulsation within your heart area. And you just let it detect. Then stay with it. Means the awareness and the pounding of the heart or the vibration, let it move as one in perfect harmony and synchrony. Then all this will also slow down until like you hardly breathe, like there is no vibration, nothing. Then everything becomes very quiet, very still. Just allow it to be. No more interference from the thought process. Just let that nature move and develop the activity and transformation. You can slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. This inner awareness that we have developed, we must try to maintain it and stabilize it for as long as we can. We have to use it to live life, so that we can be aware or mindful in the midst of life, leading to heedfulness. Okay, before I continue, I will explain a bit more. So now you understand why we need to develop this awareness-based meditation. And to have the understanding based on what I understand should be very clear by now. Then there is another part which I have shared last Sunday. Like I explained just now at the beginning, each and every one of us, living being, even human beings, same, we have this Buddha nature within. There is a nature within. And from that nature, the first thing to come out is the pure awareness nature. That's why it manifests together with our birth. You need a form of mind to come to have that nature inside there. Without a form of mind, you can't. That's why you need a life and an existence. That is nature's law. And from there, that thing is already there. But most people don't understand. So what happens is, if we are that pure awareness, like I have explained before, how do you make use of it is very important. But as an initial teaching, I have to explain to you how the human being as a life form creates thoughts. So initially, like I explained, we have this awareness nature within, which is spacious awareness. There is no thought, nothing inside there. But because of your conditioning since birth until now, you like create a thinking without you knowing, without you understanding. Because to do that is very easy, very natural. It's just like you want to become heedless, deluded. It's very easy. Like a kid, you want to learn the wrong thing, it's very easy. Yeah. You just pick up whatever that comes naturally. Yeah. So by doing that, you will fall. So if you, let's say now, after you develop this, you know there is this spacious awareness, then you must be silent inside, fully aware to understand what is going on. Then how you function as a human, how from that spacious awareness you shrink into a small space and create the thought. We are inputting the content of consciousness into that pure space. So if I will give you example, that is easy. For example, seeing consciousness, how do you see things? Let's say the Buddha Rupang at the back. You want to see it. How do you see it? You have to use your eye as an organ. Yeah? Look in that direction. Then from there, you shrink the spacious awareness, which is your nature, into a small space where you supposed to perceive. Then with that space, there is a consciousness that is trapped inside. You perceive it via the sanya aggregate. Then you retrieve through memory, which is your accumulated knowledge, views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, everything. Then from there, you label it. You call it Buddha Rupang or the Buddha image or whatever. Then because you have so much knowledge, you are so conditioned. Whether it's beautiful, new, or old, or dirty, or whatever. So you create that perception that gives rise to that form, external form, that you give meaning, and you describe it, and you create all the thinking, the emotion, the reaction, the whatever attachment to that thing. That is how, with that, you introduce the content. And with it comes all your views, opinion, belief system, your egoic mind, which is sakyadity, including all your craving, desire, your like and dislike, your opinion of things. So all this, they develop the content and goes in. That's how it triggers the thought. So that thought arises through that spacious awareness that shrink to that space, and the content of consciousness went in, then it triggers the thought. So that thought is not the spacious awareness. It is a small part of it that through our senses and our consciousness that is trapped inside, we created the content and input the movement, that it trigger that thought process. That's why thought is limited. From spacious awareness, you lost the ability to be aware, to be in that stage of sensitivity, to observe what is going on. You shrink into that small space and input the content and get lost inside that content. Is whatever thought process that is going on inside there. Your sankhara sanya, activity of mind, the aggregates of mind, all the movement inside there, you get yourself entangled inside, preoccupied with what you are thinking and all those things. That's how you create thought. That's how you get entangled and become heedless, lost in thought. Then because you have been doing all this for so long, it becomes habitual. That is how you develop habitual tendency. So all this is the understanding that you must develop to your own awareness, to see it, to understand it, then to awaken to it, then to see clearly, who are you? What are you? Is that form am I you? Then whether you can be in the state of awareness to realize that pure awareness nature within or not. The pure awareness nature within is very important. But that is not a being. That is not you. But that nature existed prior to the arising of the form and mind, prior to the arising of the thought process, which is a byproduct of that nature. Because through our physical senses and the consciousness trapped inside, and the karmic process, the karmic content or movement, it triggers off all this movement. And this is how the law of karma can function. Because without this form and mind to entrap the living being, the law of karma cannot manifest the movement and all the activity causing suffering, delusion, everything. So do not be deluded. We are using your thought to try to understand all this movement, especially the four circle formation that I use to explain the whole creation process, how from the source of the Buddha nature we arise. Don't deludedly think that since you are that pure awareness nature of the Buddha nature, then how can it fall and become a puttajana again, a mundane? No, it didn't fall. Because this is the karmic process involved. That spacious awareness is a nature that every living being has. But that is your true nature, your original nature, panlaidamianmu. Forcing our Buddha nature, the oneness nature. So the first thing to come out from there is that pure awareness nature. And that nature is your true mind. Yours in the sense that it's not a living being. It's the nature prior to whatever that arises. It's the primordial. And that thing exists. But it needs a form of mind to arise. It needs the karmic process. That's why the whole thing is together as one package. So that is the reason why to understand the true, real awareness-based meditation is not easy. But when you have this understanding, then it becomes very clear, very easy. Then you can meditate with understanding and you will progress very fast. Then you will understand why all this while for the last almost 20 years, I've been sharing with you all avoid thought-based meditation. Yeah, it can never lead to the realization of enlightenment, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. That instrument itself limits you. So thought-based meditation will give rise to psychic energy field, knowledge, but it cannot develop wisdom. Yeah, it cannot see the totality. It is not the awareness nature, that spacious awareness nature, which is without thought. That is just a way. Okay, so this part is additional. Yeah? Okay, invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release. Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta cakawalesu atra gacantu devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadang Dhamma Sravanang Kalo Ayam Padanta Dhamma Sravanang Kalo Ayam Padanta Dhamma Sravanang Kalo Ayam Padanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarti Satta deva manusanang buddho Do Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditabbo Vinohiti Supadipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Ujjupadipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Nyayapadipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Yaditam chattari purisa yukkani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato sakkasangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakkeneyo Anjali karaneyo Anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati Sadhu 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 Okay, you all can be seated. Then we will continue from where we stopped. We are at page, those who have the book, we are at page 545. Okay, I will read on. So, we are at the sutta part where the subheading is size of the assembly, listening to the Buddha Sakyamuni while he was expounding this Miao Fa Lian Hua Qing, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. The numbers of these bodhisattvas will be countless, limitless and inconceivable, beyond the scope of calculation or analogy. With the exception of the Buddhas, endowed with their wisdom power, no one will be able to know their numbers. When they wish to walk, jewel flower will spring up to hold their leg. This will not be newly resolved bodhisattva. They will have planted roots of virtue for a long time in the presence of countless billions of kotis of Buddhas. They will have flawlessly cultivated pure conduct and will be continually praised by all Buddhas. Constantly cultivating the Buddha's wisdom and replete with great spiritual powers, they will be well versed in all the gateways to the Dhamma. Straightforward, ingenious, and steadfast in their resolve. Bodhisattvas such as these were abound in that land. So this so-called Buddha land of Sariputta is very unique. Yeah. Okay, we go to the commentaries. The number of this type of bodhisattvas will be countless, limitless, and inconceivable. The commentary's explanation is, how many living treasures, that is, living bodhisattvas will be there, or will there be? You could never finish counting them. Why is it so? It's because their numbers is beyond comprehension or conception. Being inconceivable, it is countless and limitless. If it had a measure or a limit, it would be conceivable. Since their numbers is countless and limitless, it's inconceivable. Means their number is beyond the scope of calculation or analogy. If the number is inconceivable, can it be calculated? It is beyond calculation, and no analogy could be used to describe it. The bodhisattva will be as many as the grains of sand in the Ganges River. They will be everywhere. Thus the aeons will be called Greece with great treasure. Take a look at the sands in the Ganges River. How could you possibly count the grains? The number of bodhisattva will be even greater than that. Then the sutta continued, without the exception of the Buddha endowed with their special wisdom power, no one will be able to know their numbers. Means the countless, limitless, and inconceivable numbers of the bodhisattva is beyond calculation and analogy. Only the Sammasambuddha with their 10 kind of wisdom power will be able to understand or know the numbers of bodhisattvas therein. When they wish to walk, jewel flowers spring up to hold their leg. When these bodhisattvas are standing or sitting, there is nothing unusual about them. However, as they start to walk, lotus will spring forth to support their feet. This will be the newly restored or resolved bodhisattvas. Means these countless, limitless, and inconceivable bodhisattvas will have cultivated good roots for a long time and will have realized unobstructed wisdom. They will be senior or great beings, great bodhisattvas, not young ones who have just recently brought forth the result. Then Shenhua gave this poem, I think. Last summer, I told you all this verse. Fish eggs, the Amalaka, and newly resolved Bodhisattva. These three are many in the beginning, but few of them make it to maturity. So even to go the Bodhisattva way, not everybody complete the mission or fully evolve it. Newly resolved Bodhisattva often do not compare their journey on the path. So they are compared to fish egg. So fish egg or fish spawn in spring. Although they lay many eggs, not all the eggs will become fish. While some do, others are turned into mush and was washed away in the sea. So this is the analogy that Xuanhua gave, which is quite good. And similarly, the Amalaka tree has a lot of blossom, but bear little fruits. It is easy to make a bodhisattva resolve, means plant the seed of bodhi, as it is said. It is easy to make a vigorous resolve, but hard to sustain it for a long period of time. This is true. Yeah. That's why you need to have a lot of parami. a lot of affinity, the Triple Gem, the Great Beings, the Buddha, the Bodhisattvas. And you must really have the resolve, the determination to go this way, the perseverance, the sincerity, and the faith. Without this, it's not easy to accomplish the whole training. And I read on, you may, on an impulse, make a vigorous bodhisattva resolve and give away some of your wealth. This is easy to do. But if you were to give in the same way every day, it would not be easy. So this is Xuan Hua's analogy. Again, Xuan Hua said, it's easy to resolve to become a bodhisattva, but to continue cultivating the bodhisattva path for a long time is very difficult. People who bring forth the resolve might regress sometime, which is very true. Haven't I often said that in cultivating the path, we will suddenly advance and then just as suddenly retreat or regress? I am today thinking of my friends from long ago who are all dead, and my young friends who are also no longer in this world. One of my middle-aged friends also died in a car accident. The old, middle-aged, and young can all die. Life is ultimately pointless, since everyone is bound to die. What day am I going to die? I don't know. Yesterday, we went to conduct a ceremony to take across someone who had passed away. It is a Chinese Buddhist custom that when someone dies, monastic go to recite sutra to help the spirit of the deceased go to a better place. Here, because it's eight, that's why he used Anna, and 87 years old. 87 years old, or what?
Yeah.
87 years old, had passed away. So the entire company, three novices and a bhikkhu, went to recite sutta. When we got back, I asked one of the novices how it was. He said he was happy to be able to do this kind of thing. Then you should think of a way to cause more people to die so that you will have to work. You will have work to do every day, a job. Actually, you should not have such false thought. Such false thought, because if you want others to die, they will also want you to die. If everyone were to die, there will be no people left in the world. Although you like to recite sutta for the deceased, you must wait for the appropriate causes and conditions to occur naturally. So do not think of trying to cause people to die. I think this is Xuan Hua's sharing. I don't think people think of people to die. The novice will not do that. Anyway, we read on. Why do I bring this up is because in the future, we are all going to die. The question is, after we die, where are we going? Where do we come from in the first place? That too is a question. Therefore, you must figure out where you come from or where you came from when you were born and where you will go when you die. When you are clear about that, you will not have lived this life in vain. In the Song of the Skinback, Chou Pi Nang, Venerable Master Xu Yun stated, your life will have been worth living. You will not have come here for nothing. Means you have not wasted your time, being born as a human being. Newly resolved bodhisattva, seeing that everyone is bound to die, become nervous and think, I better hurry up and cultivate the path, recite the Buddha's name, meditate, uphold precept, and listen to sutra lecture. I must cultivate. There is a lecture every night at 125 Waverly Place, fourth floor. Let's go listen. They listen to one sutra lecture, find it utterly dry, and decide one time is enough. Such people are newly resolved bodhisattva because they have brought forth their resolve for a day. They start out very enthusiastic on the first day, but on the second day, they have cooled off considerably. By the third day, their heart is frozen solid. They have entered the icebox when it comes to Buddha Dharma. This sometimes happens to newly resolved bodhisattva. It's easy to bring forth that initial resolve, but difficult to sustain it for any length of time. So as the verse states, there may be a great many fish eggs, amalaka blossom, and newly resolved bodhisattva, but few of them actually mature and come to fruition. These senior bodhisattvas are the ones that make it out of the group of countless young bodhisattva when they walk. Lotus spring forth up to support their legs. When Sakyamuni Buddha walk, lotuses also appear underneath his leg. The Buddha walked 4 inches above the ground, even though his feet did not touch the ground. Footprint appear. Now that I don't believe, you said, how could someone whose feet did not even touch the ground leave footprints? I am just telling you the fact. I do not wish you to believe it. What difference would it make? If you do not believe it, so much the better. If you believe, I would not need to lecture on the sutta. As long as you do not believe, I can keep on lecturing. And that is just what I want. See, the inconceivable is right here. My purpose is to make you disbelieve. So this is to make sure you investigate everything. Don't just take it and believe it, lock, stock, and barrel. Then next part of the sutta. They will have planted roots of virtue for a long time, which is very true. For a long time, they have planted the roots of virtue, merits, and blessing. How do you plant roots of virtue? They are planted by doing all the good deeds, the wholesome deeds. If you do a lot of bad deeds, you are planting the roots of coming offenses. This bodhisattva did no evil and practiced every kind of good deeds. They have been planting the roots of their virtue not just for a day or two, a month or two, or a year or two, but in every life throughout countless asankhya kalpas or eons. They perform every good deeds they knew of it to benefit living beings. That in the presence of countless billions of kotis of Buddhas, this senior bodhisattva, will have flawlessly cultivated pure conduct. Flawless means immaculate and not defiled by even a single speck of dust. The mind-right thoughts are all empty. When there is no thought, there is true purity. How can one be pure? I will tell you a way to be perfectly pure. If you wish to be truly pure, you must not have anything to do with money. That is a worse version. When you have money, you are defiled. Having nothing to do with money, you have the potential to achieve the highest purity. Anyway, this is Sun Hua's understanding and version. Maybe he has his reason for it. But like I always explain, It's the user of money, it's not money. If you blame money or technology, then I don't know. Because money and technology to me is neither good or evil. It depends on the user. If the user don't have the understanding and the wisdom, then that money cannot become wholesome. Likewise, technology is the same. Whether it's evil or good depends on the user. And if the user is deluded, everything will go negative. Okay, so we see what explanation Xuan Hua Gun gave. So he said, why? You want to know why? He said, money is filthy. That one I agree. Because so many people touch. Sure dirty. Nevertheless, most people treasure it. When some people count money, they wet their finger with saliva to count the bill. That is so disgusting. There are germs all over the money. But that didn't stop them from putting it into their pocket, germ and all. They think the more the better. These people see money, filthy as it is, as a treasure. They don't even think about how unclean it is. Pure cultivation entails not wanting money. And this one is the monk's precepts. Because monk actually cannot hold money. They need kapia and all those things. He said, I can't manage that. You say, of course you cannot. If you could, you would be a bodhisattva. Since you cannot, you are not a bodhisattva. It's as simple as that. This bodhisattva will cultivate purity and will be continually praised by all Buddhas. Buddhas of the Ten Directions will praise them all the time, saying, you are really great senior bodhisattva, Mahasattva. Why do they praise them? They praise them because of their impressive cultivation. They have been cultivating roots of virtue for a long time. They are definitely worthy of the Buddha's praise. Before we continue, maybe Sui, can you mark where I stop? This bodhisattva that I just marked so that I can come back to that. Okay, I will need to explain a bit. This is based on my understanding, which is quite different from what Xuan Hua has shared. But maybe it will help cultivate the way. You see, as you go this way, the so-called bodhisattva way, you must have the understanding. That's why I say you must plant the seed of Bodhi with understanding, with wisdom, with faith, with sincerity, and you must have that resolve to persevere. So if you have all this, then the bodhisattva way will not be so difficult. But you must have parami too. You must have good teacher, good guy, and all the Dhamma friends or spiritual friends who can actually bring forth the causes and conditions for you to continuously receive this understanding. So the bodhisattva way cultivation, you must bear in mind. Before you develop the understanding, you are like a normal living being, or puttajana for our case of a human being. So you tend to, like what Reverend Suwano, he used to speak in Hokkien, the deluded puttajana living being that take birth and arise, they don't know anything. So the moment they are born, they are totally deluded. Gong-gong one, don't have any understanding. That's why they grow up also gong-gong one, don't have any understanding. So gong-gong tua, gong-gong jia, gong-gong si. It means, deludedly you are born, then you grow up, then every day you also deludedly eat your meal, then finally you die, also deluded. So If you are that type of living being or human being, so you will tend to have to depend on your luck, the causes and conditions. Certain time in certain life, maybe you accumulate some merits that a lot of nonsense, means karmic negativity. And then you take birth in the Wufu Rhyme or what, then after paying back your karmic debt, then you arise again, become a human being again. Then because of what you do, maybe one or two of the life, even though you are so terrible, but you did a small virtuous deed or good deed to somebody that you don't know, could be a cultivator or what. Then that starts off the cycle for good life. Yeah. Then you will meet up with people, who will give you the opportunity, to develop understanding of this teaching. Then you start to practice them, cultivate. Bit by bit you accumulate. Then you maybe see the beauty of the teaching. Then slowly, slowly you evolve. And every life you do more wholesome thing, merits and all things, and less of those negativity. But then when sasana no more, again you fall back. So the going forward and back. So to have the ability to cultivate until you can never regress or fall as a bodhisattva to become what is described by the sutta, the Lotus Sutta, you need to have all this understanding. Initially, when you cultivate, you must have the affinity, parami, the sincerity, like I mentioned. Then after that, you slowly, slowly evolve the understanding. Then you start to cultivate and make the vow and aspiration to have all this basic important understanding life after life, so that whenever you arise, you will know what this thing is, especially the law of karma, then how to follow the advice of the Buddha, then ask for forgiveness, repentance, and the basic understanding of the Buddhist teaching, especially the Four Noble Truths is three turning, the five aggregates of form and mind, the final summary of the First Noble Truth, two aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind, and the basic teaching. Once you have that, whenever you arise, you will develop more and more wholesomeness, less and less of this karmic negativity. Then as you progress, it's like the game of snake and ladder. You normally will slowly progress, but then initially you make mistake. When you make mistake, it's like you step on a snake and you fall back. That's like progress, regress, progress, regress. Then sometimes you progress for a very long period. You think, oh, the goal must be very near. Then you hit the very long snake, you remember? That brings you down from the top. You almost reach the goal already. Then it slides you back to the first or second row, I forgot it. So this is what will happen in a normal existential world. Yeah. But then every time you fall, you learn, you determine, you make resolve. So what happens is, as you continue to progress until you hit the sainthood way, and you by then also have the maybe causes and conditions to meet up with all the Buddhas, Sammasambuddha, the great beings, and have all those affinity, to take the Bodhisattva vow and the Bodhisattva way. Once you hit that, most likely, most of your life you come, you will be so much better than normal people. But then, you can also fall if you are not careful. So, based on my experience, what I went through, my nature went through, I realized there is a stage where you continue to progress and you can never fall back like before anymore. But the understanding has reached a level where all this Adhyana or aspiration, resolve or vow and understanding that you have the vow to enable you to develop this understanding line after line whenever you arise. When you can do that, what happens is you will continue to develop a lot of perfection, parami, wholesomeness, and hardly any karmic debt to pay back. Even this present segmented life of my nature, I can recall when I was young, actually the sign was there. I saw and I knew. Then when I grew up as a child, of course, subject to normal environment, condition and other things, then I realized I hardly have any problem. But I have to like pay back certain very minor type of injury and wound, like cut, pricked by nail and all things. Then the most severe one was the green coconut leaf that fell from the tree and hit me. That one, but I didn't feel pain. Blood oozed out, but I didn't feel pain. Then my friend with me took me back to my house. My father was a Chinese medical shop. He applied the Chinese sensei medicine and I recovered. Very crude, but I recovered. No need to go hospital. Then the rest is very minor. But once I was in Form 3, after that year, Form 4 onward, my life changed. I realized I don't have to pay back anything anymore. That everything become like meant to be smooth sailing. Like you are very lucky, you are very blessed. Then by the time it hit 1989, of course in between was all the happening and the cultivation. When I was in Form 4, that time was 1969, I remember. Oh no, 1970, 71 I was Form 5, So from that year onward, everything was smooth sailing. My career, my education, my whatever. If you were to understand that it's all because of my nature's understanding from the past that enabled this, and this can happen. That's why I want to let you understand you don't have to worry about what Xianhua described just now. Maybe his one is for other category of people, but you are a true cultivator. You can reach the stage of cultivation where your transformation and understanding is so different. Especially just now he mentioned, how can you have a mind that is incapable of negativity? Oh, that one can be done one. You must develop the meditative training, the bodhisattva way, until the mundane mind collapse. And when the mundane mind collapse, that supramundane mind is like empty inside there. Don't have any delusion to input that type of content one. Your that one is non-grasping one, non-deluded one. It don't have any negativity one. It's pure. It can be that. So this is the part that I want to share. Okay, now we go back. Maybe I'll continue a bit more. This bodhisattva will be constantly cultivating the Buddha's wisdom and will be replete with great spiritual power. What is the Buddha's wisdom? It is ultimate wisdom. It's genuine wisdom. This bodhisattva will have great spiritual powers. They will not have merely the knowledge of others' thought. Knowledge of past life, the heavenly eye, or the heavenly ear. This one is all psychic, the psychic field one, the supernatural psychic power. They will not simply have just this minor spiritual power. Instead, they will have great spiritual power. They will not need to deliberate, contemplate, to gain a thorough understanding of all things. And this is very true. The minor spiritual power of an arahat, see, the Theravada may not lie. They use the word mangala, spiritual power of an arahant, are activated through deliberate contemplation. What does that mean? If they want to know something, they must first purify their mind and deliberately meditate on it. They have a wisdom that arises from intentional thought process. Those with great spiritual power, they do not have to do that. They do not have to settle their mind and sit there to meditate for a while before they can know something. They do not have to meditate because at all times and in all places, there is nothing they do not know and nothing they do not see and understand. These are the great spiritual powers. In studying the Buddha Dharma, if you only look at the surface, you will not be able to know the difference between great and minor spiritual power. So this one is what we normally describe as superficial wisdom or Dhamma. If you learn the sainthood way, actually, initially, all that understanding is superficial. We call it the provisional teachings, wisdom, or we call it the Mahayana use that term. You cannot blame them. Superficial wisdom. Then when it comes to the Bodhisattva's cultivation, they call it, there is another word they use. What word are they? What type of wisdom is that? Profound. Profound, I think it's profound. Or very special pranya, pranya. Okay, I think I will stop here. 9:50 already. We mark this page. Okay. Now we will open up for second session.
Amitabha, Brazil, Mrs. Kyo, okay, I'm fast.
Yeah.
Okay, I can. Can you hear me, Brazil?
Can. Very clear. Yeah.
I will share a bit of what I wanted to share because of the time limitation.
Ah, yeah, at that time we were towards the end already. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, I just want to say a little bit more about this specific phenomena awareness.
Awareness, yes.
Yes. When the coffee spilled onto my friend on her hand, leg. So
yes.
I was in this specific awareness, you know, phenomenon.
Yeah.
But, so what I realized about this is even though I'm in the specific awareness side phenomena, but it's an active awareness, right?
Yeah,
still act. I can still act, you know.
Yeah.
And I immediately know what to you know,
not a problem. Yeah.
Yes, not a problem. So it's an active awareness. It's not.
Yeah.
You know, like you can't do anything about it. You know, so I was like straight away. I able to know what to do. I took out my napkin. You know, from my
bag,
and then start to absorb the coffee,
the coffee or whatever.
Yes,
yeah.
And everything. So that to minimize the heat. On her hand and her pants. Okay, so this is what I realized that, you know, it's an active awareness. I can still act despite that
not a problem
awareness,
at all.
You know.
Yeah. Then the clarity, the understanding is very beautiful.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, there was one occasion, I remember, that night I really rejoiced because it was at the Cameron Highland retreat, I think one of the retreats. One of the year. So I was with my wife having the meal. Then we were having coffee, I think, that time. Then suddenly something happened, that thing spilled. Then I was there with that awareness. Then I understood what is going on. Then I saw my wife didn't react and didn't do anything, didn't even panic at all. Just silent. Then I say sadhu. Because you will know. Happened already. Means Do what you have to do. Panic for what? Huh? Get emotional for what? No need. Just let it be. Then after that, we do what we have to do. The cleaning our housing. Then everything like normal. Nothing happened. Then sometimes you can see the specific phenomenal awareness movement before that thing happened. The causes and conditions are already there already. The conditioning is going to happen already. And you can sense it or not. That it happened. But sometimes it's like the devas up there. They can see and they can know that this thing is going to happen. Then if they have this ability to contact the living being down there or human being down there, then they will try to contact. Sometimes they are relative or what related in some way. Then they will try to give you like make you become aware. It's like some sixth sense thing, that like you feel something is telling you something. Then the message can go through. Then sometimes it can alert you. Then you know you're not supposed to go. Or you're not supposed to continue with what you are doing and all those things. This is because through the awareness, they are at that level of awareness. Then they can see before that thing happened, build the conditioning, the movement right there. So an analogy that you can maybe develop understanding is like when you stand on a higher horizon. Okay, let's say Cameron Highland, Brinchang, at the San Bao Si, the Triple Gem Temple. You walk outside where there is an extended platform where we park our car there. Then you look at Brinchang Town. Sometimes you can see the traffic movement there. Then let's say there is this car traveling certain direction, the other one another direction, but they intercept on a curve. Actually, when you are up here, you will see, you know, based on their speed, because it's a blind spot, when they reach that curve, they are going to hit each other or danger will happen. You can see because you are higher up with the awareness up there. Whereas the people driving the car and the people on the road level, they are mostly with that level of consciousness, and even if they have awareness, they are sensitive to that part only. They are not high enough to look down. So they don't have that ability to see so clearly as the one up there. So this is the analogy that can make people understand. But you don't have to worry. Because when you have that karma, karma will protect you. It will alert you. And it will let you know. Like what I shared with you all before. There was one incident when I was driving. I suddenly reached a timber crossing where before I decide to cross, something inside my heart tell me, don't cross. At first I thought, maybe the timber cannot take the weight of my car. But as a civil engineer, I know no problem. I can easily cross safe. Then, being curious, the first time I had that type of sensation or sixth sense, I want to find out. So I decide to drive over mindfully. Then the thing happened. That's why I came to know. So all this understanding, as you cultivate, you develop, the awareness nature will actually alert you and protect you. Then if it's not meant to be, you will know one. But the sign will be there. The sign are very clear one. That's why I make different decisions at different time. I will not be rigidly fixed. Oh, we plan like that way, we must continue like that. Forget about it. When causes and condition has evolved and become different, then you accord and flow. That is what you have to do. And whatever it is, it's not so real, not what you think. We may think it's very real, involving incident, death, or accident, or whatever. But actually, it's all phenomenal of consciousness. He know you, he know me. Everything just dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. No reality at all. So all this understanding, as you cultivate, you develop them, you develop them. So for your case, Pucheng, you can learn a lot of things from it. So based on what you develop on your own, you know this specific phenomena, awareness, is not something that is like rigid, that or dead. It is alive. It's, you can still act, you can still be sensitive. Then there was another incident. I remember I went to Thailand on a spiritual trip. I took spiritual friends or Kayamita there. We were at this resort area where the organic farm, he has a lot of chalet and all those things, the owner, Kun Sona. I think that place is called what right there? Kau Kok. Kau Kok. Kau Kok, I think. Kau Kok. Near to Achan, Achalo's place, some short distance away. So, Kau Kok. So, we were there. Then that night, we were supposed to gather at his house, the owner of that resort, the house, the Consorn's house. Then his house is built on a slope, on a slope. So everybody was supposed to assemble there at certain time at night. You know, I think it's about just after the sun have set or before it fully set, about 7 or 7 something around there. So most of the Kayamita were there already. Then I arrived slightly later. So as I was walking down from the slope, you know, that time I was not that old yet. I was still in my 60s. 60s. So I walked down. Then before I joined them to sit, somebody point out a place reserved for me. I saw the stone, everything there. The stone formation, all those things. So I just walked down. But because I have the specific awareness, spacious awareness, and the specific phenomenal awareness. So what happened was, before I reached that place, I stepped on a loose rock. That rock was loose, so I lost my balance. But because of that specific phenomenal awareness, I was fully aware of the whole happening. Then I can make a choice where to fall. Because through my recollection, you can say it's memory, because when I have specific phenomenal awareness, I knew there was a rock there. So I decide to fall on the other side, where I 100% sure is grass. Then I roll on it. So everybody panicked. They saw me. They thought, oh, brother, holy war, this Taiwan on a slope somewhere. So everybody panicked. But I landed. Then I said, don't worry, I'm okay. I just roll on the thing. Then there was another incident also, I think. I came down from the bus. And you know, our tour bus, was in China, the step very big one. So when I landed on the pavement, because the step was so big, I actually lost balance. Then I rolled over. Then Chin Hao was in front waiting for me. But I told him, don't worry. I didn't even injure myself. I just rolled. Of course, my pants and my hand a bit dirty. That's it. Because when you are aware, you can still do it. Then that day, Man Yuan came to my house. I think Man Yuan would know. He came and collect the book, the new book. Then he saw me walking down from my staircase. Then on the last step, I thought it was the last step. Actually, there were two more steps. That's why I lost balance again. But luckily, that one, I have the railing. My son tell me he must hold railing. That is at your age, hold the railing. Well, he himself fall. Then age 30 something, he fall and he got hurt. So because I held the railing, I tripped actually, but I landed nicely, because I was holding on the railing. Then I told Manya, don't worry, I was holding on to the railing. So the key point that I want to share is, remember, as you age, don't take things for granted. Hold on to whatever firm railing that you have. Just hold on to it. Even if you think you will not fall, just hold on to it. No need to hold it tightly, understand? At least with your hand around it, so that anything happen, it will still be there to support you. So this is how specific phenomenal awareness and awareness can mitigate all those unnecessary accident or injury that may arise when you are not aware, when you are not able to have all this understanding. Okay, project. So this one is for you, because I remember last Sunday you wanted me to maybe share with you the deeper aspect of the understanding of this spacious awareness and specific phenomenal awareness and how to develop the understanding of it. Okay?
Yes. Thank you, Rahatio. Yes, I totally agree with you. You know, some of things that you mentioned is really what happened. Like for example, learn to see sign, right? That is very
You will
important.
start
Learn
to
to see sign.
understand all those things.
Yes, I'm just starting to learn to see sign, Rahatio. So
And
in
it
for
will
this
come to you.
particular,
It will come to you. Where
yes, but.
your heart base there, you detected the gateway, you managed to go in, then you will start to have those ability.
Yes,
Before that, not
but
easy.
rather, even though I kind of like know the repeated thing that happened to me, right? Like for example, this case, okay, maybe I explain a bit. For example, this case, right? Before I even leave to go to the airport, right? I pack my sling bag, and my sling bag, I usually put certain things on, and then when I want to check what is inside, and I want to remove some of the things, right? One of the things that's inside is the napkin or the paper thick. These are not the normal tissue or whatever. It's a thick napkin, paper napkin, and all. So it's in my bag. So I say, I don't want to bring la, so heavy, you know. So I said, I take it out. Then after that, I have to put it back again. No, but
Sado.
you know what I mean? Then I said, I never mind, maybe I need to bring it. So I bring it. Then when it comes to the day that I have to go for the tour, right? I said, you're so heavy, climb the mountain, I walk the mountain, say very heavy, don't want to bring, no need to bring, like, no. Then after that, I take out again, no, brother, huh? Then after that, I cannot take it out again, I have to put it back again, you know, for whatever reason, you know.
Sado.
So these are the two signs that I realized that
It's
I
meant
had
to
to put
be.
it back, you know, for good use, like, I do not know what is the event or incident that,
You don't have
so,
to know one. It
yes.
will let you understand later on.
Correct,
Initially,
correct,
it's
yes.
always like that.
Yes, correct.
Somehow, if it's not meant to be, the sign will come again. Then you will know what is
Yes.
all this. Means
Yes.
it's like hinting to you, you're not supposed to go on, or you're not supposed to do certain thing. Then for
Yes,
your
yes.
this case, you're not supposed to take it out one.
Yes,
It's meant
correct.
for a purpose.
Yes, meant
All
for a
this will
purpose.
happen on.
Yeah. So I mean for me I just think I am have to you have to bring it, so just bring la, okay? No, no choice la, bring. But the thing is when it happened, I thought it's my for my own use, like, you know. Then I said, hey, how come it's for my friend's use instead,
It's for somebody
you know,
else.
yeah, so somebody else to help her to get rid of the heat on the hand and leg,
And
like, you know.
it's very useful one.
Yes,
Always
yes.
happen in a way that is means that person has the parami to to receive all this. So that's why it will happen. It will cause things to arise and it will manifest accordingly. Even I remember my daughter told me after MCO she come back, she travel or what, she also have those understanding of the sign. And she also used to share with me. Very interesting. Like she very lucky, very blessed. And all the places she go, especially mountain climbing, after she come back, somehow not too good. Earthquake and all those things. But it's meant to be, it's nature's condition. Nothing to do with what happened. What happened is nature's condition. Then sometimes, like that flight to Kathmandu, the flight was cancelled. Then that night itself opened up because the plane that landed need to clean up the runway, I was saying, and it was for very long suspended. Then he suddenly decided to come back and tell me, "Daddy, Daddy, our flight very likely tonight, we can go and take off." And really, when then nothing happened, landed over there. And a lot of things just happened. Then after that, three come back not long, within a week or what, earthquake. And she saw on the TV, she was at the base camp there where the earthquake happened. Then he remembered there was a friend. So he decided to call her and she said, "She's safe, don't worry." He said the family also safe, but earthquake was quite major. Then the other one is Kotak Kinabalu, Kinabalu Mountain. That one, Himalayas one, is the highest. So all this, the sign will come and you will understand. Then take care of karma. The key thing is take care of karma. Karma take care of you. Then there is another place I forgot already. He came back, the flood happened. What was that place already?
Sungai Lembing. Sungai Lembing.
Sungai Lembing, they parked their car out there. Then later, I think, don't know how long, I forgot already, 1 or 2 weeks later, the news river came out, the whole area flooded. So all this, you also need to develop the understanding. So take care of karma. Karma will take care of the rest. Then have goodness, have kindness. It's for cultivator the way to see. Then your faith becomes stronger. Then you have confidence. Then before you have all this understanding, you realize you make a lot of mistake. Then that mistake has its karmic repercussion. So initially it will let you see a lot of all these things and transform your understanding and faith until you really understand the law of karma is like that. We cannot take for granted all this. We need to be serious about life. And when we understand it, we cultivate, then it becomes different. It manifests so beautifully. It's like you really very blessed, very lucky, well protected. Especially Kayamita. A lot of Kayamita told me, after they learned the Dhamma from me, then when they travel, they felt their trip has become different. It's like they are very lucky. The weather also very friendly and everything fall into place. And like meant to be. So through observation, through being aware, we can develop all this understanding. Then you can see the sign, the conditioning, the movement, everything. Then you develop a lot of joy, a lot of understanding. This is what nature is. This is what life existence is. This is what the pancha niyamas are. This is the way it operates. Especially the law of karma. Oh, fantastic, really. Like the scientists, when they understand the scientific law, it's like very interesting, a great marvel to them. And they keep on probing, do research and all those things, and developing more and more understanding. That's why our recent decade, the last 4 decades, a lot of very penetrative scientific advancement that evolved into a lot of very new findings, like AI, technology driven, and nowadays artificial intelligence type of technology, understanding, technical understanding driven. That's why we have a lot of new technology, smart car, EV, everything. Then because of the internet speed, a lot has become possible. So within our this golden window, maybe the next 1 or 2 decades is even more fantastic. Maybe I can see the next decade until 80 plus of it. But to see beyond the second decade from now, maybe you all can see those younger ones. And a lot of things will happen. So when there is progress or advancement in understanding, you will see a lot of new things coming out, and they are very beautiful. That's why life can be a wonderful existence. And when you have the true spiritual understanding, it's even more wonderful. 真空妙有, true emptiness is wonderful existence. And existence, life, becomes so different when you have that possibility and understanding. And this window is really beautiful, really beautiful. The last 6 over decade, so beautiful. Maybe the 7 decade even more beautiful. And then the 8 decade means you reach the 8 series. By the time you hit 8 series, chances is you won't finish that one. We are before 90, a lot of people have to go. But sometimes, without their help, live too long also problem. It's a burden to a lot of people. So just let things be. Condition will unfold. Things will manifest. Meant to be will be. Good, Bocheng, you bring about a very good condition for us to discuss all this. So this is related to life and cultivation. Yeah, you can continue, Bocheng. So what happened to the tissue?
The tissue just is of good use, right? Finally, you know, that I brought it along and helped my friend. So the third understanding I had was that, but they always mention that there are always causes and conditions. All phenomena, you know, it arise dependently on causes and conditions. It cannot happen out of coincidence. It's not a coincidence that this thing happened.
It never by accident or chance. It's meant to be.
Yes, correct. It's meant to be. It's based on the causes and conditions. And the beautiful thing is it takes so many things to arise for this to happen, you know.
Correct. Like Sui always say, if you understand, actually, for something to happen, a lot of causes and conditions have to fall into place, or no? Otherwise, it cannot happen, or no? So you think this is by chance,
It's not by chance at all.
The conditioning is already there. Everything is already set. That's why, like the Buddha said, when the causes and conditions are there, things has to be like that. It cannot be otherwise. That's why he just say, whatever arise, there are causes and conditions behind. Oh, that statement is so powerful. The first time I heard about it, I rejoiced. Oh, I said, this is a really wise man. True wise, truly wise. So all this point towards suchness. The way things are. Nature's condition, the pancha niyama that governs life and existence. That's why I can summarize everything, the secret of life. All these are related, connected. And the whole of the existential world, it has its condition dhamma. Then all these condition dhamma is dependent originating. follow causes and condition. Cannot be otherwise. Then the moral causation is for the karmic part. And that part involves the consciousness. That's why the stages of creation, everything, phenomenal world of consciousness. Consciousness is the main thing that actually created the movement for all the existential worlds, phenomenal movement and happening. It has to be that way. So all these understanding are very, very different. That type of wisdom is the manifestation from that pure awareness nature that can develop the wisdom and the direct seeing and the understanding to comprehend all this. That's why without the awareness nature, you can't, the Buddha nature, you can't. That's why we call it the Buddha nature. That nature is very powerful, amazingly powerful, but in a good sense. That's why you know how to use it to develop the wisdom and the meditative understanding. You become a different type of living being, human being. But most human beings, actually, it's a pity. They don't know what is going on. They only know how to allow it to go its natural way to create heedless thinking, the thought process. You have such a beautiful, pure awareness nature. You don't know how to use it to develop understanding and wisdom. And most people just wasted it through delusion, avijja, especially Sakkaya Ditthi. Okay, Pocheng, you continue.
Yeah, I think Radio, the most powerful is this awareness, that you said,
the awareness
that allow you to have the direct seeing to see.
Very exceptional nature. That nature is capable of a lot of things.
Yes. So that kind of gave me a lot of faith that, when you have this kind of direct seeing awareness that you see in the midst of life is, the faith is unshakable. It's really amazing in that sense of gratitude.
Yes.
It becomes so clear to you how you should live your life, like gratitude said.
No doubt one. Very clear.
Meditation, awareness based, not thought based, to turn your life around,
Correct. Well, this is nature's law and condition that manifests. And it let you see, like the Hokkien word, bu kao lu bu xiang xin, in Cantonese, m to le m son. It's so clear to you, keep on showing it to you, especially before 1989, before I connect and awaken. The karmic thing, any thought that arises, slightest, not to say negative, the slightest non-straight, the intention, the karmic thing, come very clearly, I show it to you. And you cannot do one until it become like, that's it, it has to be this way, cannot be otherwise. And mtole mson means you will never dare to violate it because it is like that. And only deluded people, foolish people, heedless people who cannot see all this, they dare to behave that way and do such thing. So all these are so amazingly beautiful, wonderful. Pocheng, you have to summarize
totally
already.
Yes, totally agree with you.
3 more minutes,
I want to get somebody to talk, relative.
Not enough. You summarize better.
So actually, this incident kind of gave me three understanding that is very profound, that this specific awareness, phenomenal awareness is very active, that you can actually use it to act, in a very effective and clear manner. And then
to help
clarity.
People also. And sometimes help yourself.
Calm, you have
protect
less
yourself.
income and help other people,
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
that is so beneficial in that sense. Okay, then the second one is how to read sign, you know, although I
Yeah,
do not know what is going
ability
to
to
happen.
understand the sign is very important one.
Yes, yes,
We are
yes. Yeah.
cultivated all the way, only can see and understand, and they know how to act. That's why the Heart Sutta, you remember? The fish patriarch, after he spoke the Diamond Sutta to Hui Ning, then Hui Ning came to great awakening. Then he said, how amazing all these things. Those descriptions is about that nature. Everything arises from there. Then the aspect of mind, you have to know how to use it and yet not deluded by it or deceived by it. So all these are the mundane and the supramundane understanding. And they are so beautiful. When you understand that awareness nature, that pure nature, it is like so perfect, so marvelous, that the cultivator who have gone through all this cultivation and realized this can describe it so beautifully. All Dhamma, is it, arise from that nature. All things, all manifestation, they arise from that nature. And it's already perfect, complete. No need to do anything. Okay, Puche, Sadhu, anything else?
Yes, yes. Actually, when he said how amazing that the self nature is perfect in itself, it's so beautiful, you know, because from there you are able to see everything, you know, for the unconditioned as well as the conditioned.
Ah,
That is the marvel of the self nature, that is
that nature
itself. I think
inside
this is
that,
what I felt very strongly.
Yeah.
I have both the unconditioned as well as the conditioned, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That you are able to see through it, you know,
yeah,
cut through it,
Sadhu.
both, you know,
very
both, you
good.
know, through condition and unconditioned, cut through it. So
yeah.
that helps you to live your life, to understand
with
life
true understanding,
in a better understanding. And I wouldn't say no suffering, because you have to go through your karmic process. So, but at least the suffering get lesser, or you cannot get hurt, you know, despite the karmic hit you, you know, you can be protected in that sense based on my experience of
But
okay, then the third thing I want to say,
Hucheng, later on you will understand the deep meaning of why with the wisdom there is no more suffering. That one is very true one, because with the understanding and the wisdom, really no suffering one inside there. Really the whole thing, it's not what you think. Understand? It's not, there is a human being that go through suffering, you know. No, actually everything is just condition arising, causal phenomena, dependent originating, phenomenal world of consciousness, come and go, arise and pass away, he know you, he know me. And that understanding is so different. Once it understand all this, then everything is just, to them, is the process of creation, evolution, movement, no reality. Then who to suffer, what to suffer? There is nothing. It's only what the thought tell you. You deludedly grasp, cling, the five aggregates of form and mind, the grasping aggregate. And that is the one that causes suffering. If you don't have the delusion to grasp and the cling, there is no suffering. You will move through that phase. Later on, when your mundane mind collapse, you will understand. Because actually nothing real, nothing tangible. Everything is not what the way living being think. The thought that preconceive all this, they are deluded thought, delusion.
Yes. Yes, Brother Teo, that is very true. If I'm in the silent mind, Brother Teo, I don't have any
Yeah, in the
problem.
silent mind, there is
Yes,
nothing inside there.
correct. But then when I come out from the silent mind, then the
Yeah, to
physical,
live life.
bodily,
So
yes,
that form and
the
mind that
bodily will
live
have
life
the
that have
same.
the wisdom connected to it cannot suffer one.
Correct, 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 correct.
But the physical can go through old age sickness and all those things, can
Correct.
have like injury, whatever thing. But the mind, the one that have the understanding and the wisdom, cannot be deluded to grasp and cling and
Yes.
have even the slightest fear or worry or cannot already what? The thing
Correct.
is like completely bo-siang, different.
Yes. But I
Not
agree with you
the
totally. Yes.
one that living being with the thought process will cling on to and hold on to and worry and panic.
Correct.
No more already.
Yes,
Then, like
I
I
agree.
say, it can just, death can just happen. Like no more problem. Immediately, that instant, if it happened, nothing will go wrong. Or even let's say involve very severe accident or damage or what else, even the whole body smash or what else, nothing will happen. It just understand what that thing is power. Then the consciousness just leave. And the consciousness that leave is not you. That one is a random from inside that come out. Then it will go through that cessation where there is no abhijja. Then you won't die like a normal human being anymore. It impossible already. It's totally, completely not possible at all. Okay, very good. Sadhu. Let us
Yes,
rejoice.
sa sa di
Yeah,
sa di sa.
sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we share merits. Then we will end the whole sharing. Akasata ca bumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyantang anumoditwa Cirang rakantu lokasasana Etawata camehi Sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu Sabasampati sidiya Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Devo wasatukalena sasasampati hetuce vito bhavatu lokoce. Raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadu sadu sadu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Guanyin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Thank you. Sadhu.